Fan Hotline, brought to you by the workers' compensation law firm of Hall & Capitas. Steve Blass will be on that hotline at the top of the hour. Talk to him about all things Pirates, all things opening day. In the meantime, Ron, Keone Kellett, Jason Mackey wrote about it. Today's Post-Gazette, you can read that at postgazette.com. Kellett wanted to make it clear that he hasn't gone AWOL, anything like that. He hasn't opted out. He's just enduring this really strange time right now in which he apparently is testing positive, either inconclusive or positive, even though he's asymptomatic. So I don't know how you get out of this, like, catch-22 here. Seems like a nightmare to be in it. But the bottom line is nobody knows when he's going to return to the team, and they desperately need him.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, the back end of the bullpen seems to be just in chaos at this point. You know, I've been told by some doctors that one of the little – I shouldn't say little problem. One of the problems with this whole thing is there can be fake, false positive tests and false negative tests. And sometimes when you test positive, you really don't have it. And when you don't, you test negative, you might have it. So I don't know if that's what's up with Kellett or not, but, they're not going to let him back until he's cleared because, you know, the last thing you want is having him spread that all over that clubhouse, and you can't do that.
So Mackey writes he's been saliva tested, Kellett has, six times since he was diagnosed. He was diagnosed. And had several nasal and blood tests. They've all been either inconclusive or positive. He's obviously very frustrated. I think there's a couple other players who are going through something like this. He's been quarantined since June 30th, Ron, after he tested positive. But these test results, again, I don't know. Without being a specialist here, I don't know at what point you say, okay, you're no longer a threat to spread this thing at all to your teammates. I just know this. I watched the back end of their bullpen through this mini exhibition season, and even before that, I thought he was their best guy. He was their designated closer, in the words of Derek Shelton. Now they don't even know who their closer is, let alone who's going to set up, who's going to come into games when you figure the offense is going to be rolling for a lot of these teams early in the season. This is a major problem for them.
Well, it is, and it absolutely is. Now, how much of a problem? I don't know. Are they going to be competitive anyway? You could argue that they're probably not, that it's not that big of a deal for them. But, you know, if you want to get off to a good start and think you have a chance to compete, you need a closer. You need somebody to be able to finish off a game, because there's nothing more discouraging, I don't think, than to work hard for how long, all game, 3-4 hours, and then have the closer come in and blow it in a couple minutes. So, you know, he's the best of what they got. Shelton, as you said, from day one said he's my guy, and now he's not his guy anymore with no clue as to when he's coming back.
Well, here's why I think it matters, because I think they're going to go to the 16-team playoff field. And when you have 16 of 30 teams qualifying for the postseason, you have to be just wretched. You have to be on like a 100-loss pace, easy, to not be in consideration or not consider yourself somewhat of a contender after, I don't know, 20 games, 30 games. It's just way different than it would have been with only two wild cards. They've more than doubled that. And even last year, after, let's say, 56 games or so, the Pirates were 28-28. That would have been good enough for a playoff spot this year, Ron. And I looked this up earlier. If you look at the Pirates after about 50 or so games in each of the past four seasons, they were in the top eight, none of which they made the playoffs, by the way. They were in the top eight three times and one game out of eighth the other year. There's eight teams going from the National League, it looks like anyway. It looks like that'll pass. You almost can't help but be in it. And that's why this really takes on new meaning for me, to not have that guy at the end. And he was no guarantee to be great, but he was really good down the stretch last year. And it looked to me like he was trending in that direction again. And I don't even know, who's your closer right now? Game one, you going with Crick at the end of the game?
You know, I asked Shelton that question the other day when we had him on. He goes, we don't have one. We don't have a closer at this point. He said, it's going to be by feel. You know, each like situational. You know, maybe it'll be Crick one day. Maybe it'll be Birdie one day. Who knows? I mean, they don't have one. It's not like you have a guy that you're going to bring in and say, okay, get these last three outs. And I think that is a real problem. I agree with you 100%, especially when you don't know how the guy's going to be back. How long is it going to take him to get ready? I mean, he's not going to just step right back in. They may clear him next week, but that doesn't mean he's going to be ready to help them, right?
Exactly. And what about the idea of almost unwittingly or unintentionally contending no matter what? Listen to this. The 105 lost Pirates of 2010, we remember that group, right? One of the worst teams in franchise history. After 46 games, they're playing 60 this year. After 46 games, that team was only four games out of eighth place. Only four games out of eighth place. I mean, Ron, you have to be, you know, the 115 lost Tigers to not at least consider yourself a fringe contender this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you go to 16 teams, they're going to have to be really wretched, and they may be really wretched because their pitching isn't what I don't think is good enough to really compete. And I don't like their lineup if Polanco isn't there. There's no word yet on when he's coming back. I hear he's fairly close to being cleared, but not yet, you know. So, they still may fall short, but obviously if you go to that many teams, it enhances your chances.
Well, other than all those questions about the pitching and the lineup and the fielding and the
base other than
running,
that, they're really good.
I think they're pretty sound, Ron.
Well, I saw your prediction today. What'd you say, 25?
Yes, I was going to unveil that one on the radio tomorrow, but I'll do it right now. 25,
well,
the whole world has seen it.
It's in the paper today. It's in the paper today. I'm not exactly breaking news there.
Yes, but we have millions of people, literally millions of people, Ron, throughout the whole galaxy that listen to this show that probably haven't read the paper yet.
No,
but
people,
yes, 25.
First thing they do is read your column.
25 and 35 is where I have them. Do you want to go on the record right now or tomorrow?
Tomorrow. Now, so let's say they add the extra playoff. Will that keep them in the hunt, 25 and 35, at least for a while?
For a while, it will, sure, depending on how they finish. You know, they may fold like they haven't, well, in a couple of seasons. They've had more collapses than I don't know who. But, yes, that could keep them around in ninth or tenth place. Yeah, it could. That's the thing when you have 16 teams.
Ah, the beauty of baseball.
Especially this year. Let's talk about whether we like the idea of a – I mean, we all like the idea of baseball at this point. We'll take anything we can get. But part of me likes this better than the marathon. We'll talk about that next. And also what Heather Like had to say on a conference call with reporters this morning about the prospect of college football this fall. That's coming up on Cook and Joe. Steve Blass at the top of the hour.